America Tonight. A lot of people are feeling it right now. Some people already taking the week off. This is a big week off for some people to just extend it through Thursday, the Thanksgiving holiday, especially if they were traveling. And if they did do that and they were traveling back east, they're probably happy they did, because weather is the name of the game. It is like standing at the craps table. You know how I say that about stocks? Well, you can extend that to the weather. Right now on the East Coast, it's not looking great. 8 inches of snow in Buffalo. There's watches and warnings all over the place. They're talking about Thanksgiving really being a mess because of freezing rain and high, high winds. The Macy's Day Parade with 50 balloons. The winds so much of a factor that there's a chance they might ground the balloons because they can't have that. They've had somebody injured in the 90s, and they won't take a risk with that. So it's going to hit perhaps some of the travelers pretty hard, especially if you're leaving on Wednesday. The timing of the storm couldn't be worse, could it? Yeah, people on the roads, over 44 million, they say. AAA estimates that. And it is one of the biggest, busiest single travel days of the year on Wednesday. So just be prepared for that. Looking at the map, it was a terrible map along the East Coast. So I saw this map, and it's got two arrows. It says strong winds and then a whole line of heavy rain. Then that mix in between. Oh, it looks almost like an Oreo cookie. And then it's got the mix of the rain in between and the sleet and then the snow on the other side of it. That's never good to look at that. And they're saying those kind of conditions will be in Hartford and Boston and Portland, Maine. It'll be in Philadelphia, New Jersey, not good, because it may be that with a combination of it, you get brutal gusts of wind on top of that. So that means airport delays. That means tree limbs come down and there's power outages and all of that. And it's especially with the rain areas, so Virginia and then further south too, that's some of where the rain is going to is going to hit big time. In Pittsburgh, they're talking about a ton of snow there. I think just up and down that whole northeast, I mean, when it's circled in red, giant red, and it says travel delays, I'm going to kind of trust them on this one since I looked at the weather patterns, unless something dramatically is altered in a couple of different degrees direction. I think that that's pretty accurate, so if you are traveling, make sure you give yourself plenty of time. It's brutal when you add the wind. And now the airport, a lot of airports ground planes if you have enough of that. Where normally, sometimes the plane would go up, but they're not going to do that if there's any doubt. I mean, if it's, you know, you're talking about gusts that could be 35 or more, then especially with the icing thing, yeah, you're definitely looking at delays. There's no question about that. Happy Turkey Day. So Turkey Day, I was thinking about this because I've got to do the whole turkey thing. I have to cook the turkey and thinking, what's the best part about the Thanksgiving meal? And I mean, I guess it is the turkey, right? The turkey and mashed potatoes. Unless you don't eat meat, then you're just going to eat the other stuff or eat something else in place of it, and now more and more people are doing that. And I've said this before, we've actually done this on the show, you know, how do you cook the turkey, the traditional way, are you frying it? Some people now are just like, forget it, they're so whipped, they just go and buy it. I think that the numbers of people going to the grocery store and getting the pre-made thing, or like the Boston markets or whatever, they're doing that. If they have a small to medium kind of group coming over, because it's especially if they're pounding it at work, they're not going to cook even if they like to. And even I noticed when I was in the grocery store the other day, you know, you think of like, I think of my grandmother, how she had to cut the onions just right, and then you got to cut the celery, and then the bread is a big thing because it takes days. It's in the pan. You're drying out the bread. You would never get breadcrumbs. Now people just get everything pre-made. So they even have chopped up onions already and celery. So you can just skip that step. Just throw butter in a pan, boom, here it is. Throw it over top of the breadcrumbs. And because they know people are taking shortcuts if they can. Because they're doing the whole thing the way they used to do it would just take forever. It seemed like I remember my grandmother started planning the Thanksgiving dinner a week in advance. It's the same thing every time. But the whole thing from peeling massive amounts of potatoes and the preparing that whole turkey deal and staying up late and getting up early and, the whole thing of a giant turkey and was there going to be enough and how many people and extra, we called it filling, but stuffing, extra stuffing is crazy how long it took. So we'll see with me. I have, as I'm speaking, a frozen turkey thawing in some water right now. So would have been better to just do the fresh thing, I think, than the frozen thing. I can't remember the last time I did a frozen turkey. It's been a very long time. So I'm obviously not going to be stuck in the elements this year as I have been in the past. Like many of you will be in that situation that I was talking about with the weather. Or if you're along the parade route or any of that kind of stuff, or maybe some of you are going to step out crazily for the Thanksgiving sales now, more even than Black Friday. Things kick off on Thursday, so people run from the table and run to get in line somewhere because they'll advertise sales on whatever it is, big screen, flat screen TVs. I think for some people that would still be big. Whatever the hot item is, whatever PlayStation thing, game, whatever that happens to be, it usually seems to be electronics, then those stores are now actually bragging that they're jammed on Thanksgiving night. And people do it where they're shopping until 2 or 3 in the morning. Some people, now because of the amount of stores that are open, and you see this all over the place. It's every nook and cranny. They do this. They just have everything ready, and they go out and shop, and that's it. Thursday after Thanksgiving, you're getting everything you need, and you are done. It's not a dragged out process. You are through by Friday, and usually it's an overnight process. Then you're going to bed and you're that's it. And then all you have to do is wrap them, send them, do whatever, which just seems so wild to me that you wouldn't kind of just do it along the way instead of wait until Thursday. I mean, isn't there that thing where you get tryptophan and you're exhausted from eating so much turkey and you have to, like, lay on the couch? Somehow some people are missing a step there, I think. All right, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Stay with us. We're kicking it to the other side.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, and many of you have heard the best-selling lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie. I want to let you know that Dr. Wallach will be in Minnesota July 16th giving a free health seminar. Discover how over 900 diseases like diabetes, obesity, and cancer can be avoided and reversed just by getting a mineral-rich diet. You heard me right. There has been groundbreaking research in nutrition. And if you're tired of prescription side effects leading to more drugs causing even more side effects, come to the free seminar at Apple Valley Community Center, 14603 Hayes Road, July 16th at 6 o'clock p.m. Seating is limited, so come early. Discover how you can take charge of your own health. Come to the free seminar at Apple Valley Community Center, 14603 Hayes Road, July 16th at 6 o'clock p.m. That's Apple Valley Community Center, 14603 Hayes Road, July 16th, 6 o'clock p.m. Or call 866-860-2086 for directions and times. That's 866-860-2086. Again, that's 866-860-2086.
Do you know how much the dollar has lost in its value against other currencies in the last 90 days? Ever think about how inflation will change your life, your savings, your retirement plans? Remember inflation in Zimbabwe, Argentina, the Weimar Republic? Put another way, who cares if your investments go up 10%, but you lose 40% of your purchasing power? Gold is the only monetary asset as no one else's liability. Gold still buys the same amount of stuff it always did. Gold does not require trust in a third party. You can possess it in your hand. You can take it with you. Gold Gold is real money. Gold is honest money. My name is Daniel Larson from Midas Resources. To find out how you can protect your savings and roll over your IRA funds into precious metals accounts, please call me at 800-686-2237, extension 134. That's 800-686-2237, extension 134. 800-686-2237, extension 134.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE.
Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
What an interesting story we have to tell you about. Steve Bevilacqua is in our virtual green room, and you're not going to believe what happened to him. First of all, he was hit by a car crossing the street, and cutting to the chase, he almost went to prison for it. The guy who ran him down was charged with nothing. So now you can imagine how he must have felt, and we're going to take his pulse in a second here. He spent a bunch of time in court fighting mandatory prison sentences for imaginary crimes. He's got a book called Kafka at the Beach. You love this. A layman's handbook for those falsely accused of felonies. Steve, first of all, wow, glad you survived that. Thanks for coming on the show.
Well, Kate, thanks for having me on. This is great, man. Thank you.
So tell me what happened. Take us back to that day and then the shock of that, and then take us through what happened.
Okay, and be warned, it is a long, twisted tale. I will keep this as simple and as unshocking as possible.
There you go.
But basically, what happened was a Sunday morning, I stepped out of my apartment here in Venice Beach, and I was crossing the street at a crosswalk when I was, run down by this just road rage maniac. So I saw her coming, and actually, because I heard the screech of her tires, and I did jump out of the way. She didn't really, she didn't kill me, obviously. She just kind of knocked me down on my butt. I yelled, yo, at her, at which point she stuck her hand out the window, gave me the finger, and kept driving. But this woman, the driver was just so, crazed that even though she fled the scene of an accident, she only fled about 150 feet up the street and then tried to park. So basically then when, I just walked over, I was walking home and saw her. I was like, you just ran me down with your car. And that was the big mistake, because then she just completely exploded. She had screaming obscenity. She punched me. She just attacked me. This woman was completely out of her head. Then she followed me through the streets, screaming at me for a good hour and a half. But here's where it gets interesting, because by the time the police and the city attorneys were done processing all this, the woman who then the police report admits that she ran me down, gave me the finger and took off, then said, oh, but after all that, he tried to rob me. So, amazingly enough, the woman who ran me down gets charged with nothing. I get charged with felony string arm robbery, assault, theft, a whole long list of things, some of which came with mandatory prison sentences, which made the whole thing really a much bigger problem, actually. So I'm in court for a good 8 months, fighting for my freedom pretty much every week, shelling out tens of thousands of dollars to, for lawyers to keep me out of prison. Because when you're facing a mandatory prison sentence, there's really no plea bargaining. You say yes to anything, the judge can't help you at all. They put you on a bus to prison. So yeah. So basically, finally managed to successfully fight that off in the most insane way. It was ridiculous.
Wait, I got to stop you there. We're going to tell everyone. Because bumping it up, here is the big news, people. Judge Judy. You got redemption from Judge Judy? Are you kidding me?
No, I was saved by Judge Judy. Basically, yeah, the whole thing then played itself out again on TV where I was actually, no, this time I was vindicated. I love Judge Judy. I consider her, like, basically a role model for the rest of the justice system that they should be following, you know, very actively. And I consider her a modern-day Solomon, actually. I think she really is a return to what our justice system should be and definitely is not.
So did you say, okay, something has to happen here, something has to give, because I'm going out of my mind. I can't believe that I'm spending all this money. I'm in this situation. I could actually really go to prison. How did the whole Judge Judy thing happen in the first place?
Okay, so once I actually got the charges dismissed, and the book is very instructive. It's very funny, but it's also, God forbid you or any of your listeners end up in this situation. But there's certain things that, you know, I learned the hard way that, you know, you can benefit from if it happens to you. One of which is the only way this thing came to a head in the actual criminal justice system is after months and months of just negotiation and badgering and bullying, I finally had to go before a judge, literally, and we all have a constitutional right to do this. I had to go between the little gates, stand before a judge, and say the words, I'm asserting my right to a trial. Because they'll try to badger you into all kinds of things until you finally say, I want a trial, and I literally had to yell it. And then they have 10 days to either, like, try you or you're free. Of course, even with their, you know, basically maneuvers, it wasn't 10 days after that it was over. It was some time after that it was over. But I finally got free. I agreed to do, amazingly enough, court-ordered therapy, which was another fiasco in itself. But how Judge Judy came into it was then I decided, you know, to kind of make up some of the tens of thousands of dollars I was out by suing the driver. Not so much for running me down, but more for making deliberate misstatements to the police that cost me so much money. And then Judge Judy Show found me on the docket, and they called. And so we all ended up there. And Judge Judy was, you know, the point of the book is maybe it's where you'd least expect it. You know, you think Judge Judy's just putting on a TV show. But actually, she was much more concerned with dispensing justice than our justice system. And I was, like, dumbfounded by that. She would, you know, for instance, okay, here was one of the things that made me finally run before the judge and scream, I want a trial. After about 7 months of regular court dates, we were in a hallway talking with a prosecutor. Because that's where everything happens in court, by the way.
Right.
You out into the hall.
And
that was when I realized, because the prosecutor kept making these statements that my lawyer and I were like, you must have this confused with something else. Like, he didn't know what he was talking about. And then came the really chilling moment that we realized we were 7 months into this, and this guy had never read the police report. He didn't know there were witnesses. He didn't know what had happened. He didn't know anything that he was talking about. And so that's when it was like, I've had it. We're done. And so I went before the judge and forced them to do something. On the other hand, Judge Judy, the first thing that Judge Judy did when we were in court or on her court set was insist that all paperwork, all reports, all everything be brought to her. And it was a lot. I mean, she referred to it very scornfully as voluminous. And it was a good big stack of paper. And she made us all stand there sweating bullets while she read every word of it.
Oh.
And it was amazing. I loved her. And then she shoved it aside, and then the fireworks started. And then it was amazing. It was like a tornado of justice. And I got it good, too. I mean, she screamed at me first. And that was interesting, actually. Because, you know, all the bystanders are wondering, why did she yell at you like that? And then we still don't know. But our best guess is, because she started out by yelling at me for a good 20 minutes. And so I was just a babbling apology to her. And, of course, they cut all that stuff out of the show. So when the actual episode begins, I'm just standing there looking completely
shell-shocked. Oh, yeah, of course. All that's gone. Yeah. Hey, Steve, what's interesting is, and we're speaking with Steve Bevilacqua, and he's telling us about his story, obviously, and what happened with Judge Judy. And what's interesting is you are a screenwriter. Please tell me that this is going to pop up somewhere, someone who's going to option this or something's going to happen, because your story would make for a good segment or actually somewhere on the tube. I think this would be an interesting kind of story to see it, fleshed out a little bit. Have you thought about that or talked to anyone about
actually,
that?
And thanks. I think it would be something good. Actually, one producer has already approached me, but it was right after the book came out. The book is pretty new. And I asked, I was like, listen, let's hold off on that. Let's let it have a life as a book first. And then, sure, I think this will end up on a screen somewhere. I hope so. Although it's going to be weird because I am a screenwriter, but I don't know that I'd write this one because, you know, the main character is me, and that's just kind of weird.
When you, after you get through the Judge Judy thing and then you feel that redemption and everything, and then you decide, you know, this is just crazy, so I'm going to put together this book. And I think when more people that are probably listening to this and as your story gets out even more, I guarantee there are other crazy things that have happened to people that they just cannot believe that the script was flipped and they're on the other side of that. Have you heard that from any people that have said anything to you?
Yeah, you know, that's one of the reasons I wrote the book, because basically once you become known as the guy at the party who's just been falsely accused of something, it's funny. People come forward and tell you everything, like lots of things. What happens when you're under the gun, when you're on the wrong end of the false charges, what happens is people always confide in you things that they've done and gotten away with, which gets really crazy. I mean, you know, I guess they figure you're no threat because no one believes you. What are you going to do? You know, you've been falsely accused.
Right.
Yeah, I had people pull me aside to confess, you know, about the time they totaled a bunch of parked cars and stuff. You know, and so, that was crazy. And that you do become the great confessor for everyone.
This is a great book for, I think, anyone to read. And again, it's called Kafka at the Beach, a layman's handbook for those falsely accused of felonies. Good luck with that. Pick it up on Amazon.com. Steve, happy Thanksgiving.
On Facebook page, Kafka at the Beach on Facebook, if people have more questions. And if anybody has any questions about how to fight off false charges, I am the, like, you know, basically begrudging expert in this right now, and I'm happy to help. I've had people ask me about stuff like that.
I love that. Stevie B, thanks so much.
All right, thank you, Kate. Have a great Thanksgiving.
You too.
It's that time of year again, and you know what that means. Cold and flu season. But don't worry. HerbalHealer.com has you and your loved ones covered with our safe and natural products. Cold and flu fighters like beta-glucans, olive leaf antiviral capsules, grapefruit seed extract, HHA 4-herb capsules, elderberry power, and respirate. And don't forget about oregacillin for the lungs, normally $34.95. On sale now for only $25. Vitamin D3, 120-count soft gels, only $9. Whole body and homeopathic detoxes for the lungs, kidneys, liver, lymph, and brain. Normally $26.95, now just $20. HerbalHealer.com also offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click the Winter Specials button to save on our natural cold and flu fighting products. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
It's time for a home security quiz. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, outlet is recommended by many police departments and sells for less than $30? Yes, it's fake TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy target, a dark house that looks like no one is home. Fake TV is a small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. To get your fake TV for only $29.95 with free shipping, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Hi, I'm Ed Krell, CEO of Destination Maternity. We proudly support the March of Dimes work to reduce the rate of premature birth. The numbers have gone down in the past 5 years, but still, nearly 500,000 babies are born too soon in the United States each year. We're helping the March of Dimes fund cutting-edge research and community programs to help more moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Join us in working together for stronger, healthier babies. Visit marchofdimes.com.
Uncover a simple privacy loophole that can stop the NSA spying thugs in their tracks at privacylockdown.com. The NSA has already shut down hundreds of sites, and to truth be told, they can shut down this operation at any time. See, the privacy loophole I'm about to show you allows you to make all your sensitive information disappear in the next 30 days or less. Go to privacylockdown.com now to take your life off the grid and see the loophole in the NSA and FBI spying machine before they close the loophole forever. Go to privacylockdown.com.
With Andrew Szabo. He is a marketing chef, a professional speaker, and a positioning, branding, and messaging strategist. Andrew, big deal, obviously, with Iran and the bargain that was struck in Geneva. A lot of people are pulling this apart and saying, wow, there are a lot of holes in this whole thing, trying to shut down nuclear ambitions with the new president and the country of Iran, because there's some things that were missed in this, including immediately stopping the sanctions that were obviously working. What's your take on it?
Well, I think this is Thanksgiving. This is certainly a turkey of a deal. We've talked about how in the past few months that our diplomatic policy, our foreign policy of appeasement has not worked. And I've even talked about sometimes it looks like Chamberlain in Munich. And this is now just the turkey deal of them all, because there's nothing in this deal that is, when you say it, you use the word bargain. It's a bargain deal, all right, for Iran, because there's nothing there to hold them to the deal. We're talking about the Secretary of State saying we're going to get, what do we get out of the deal? The destruction of 20% uranium. By destruction, what they're actually going to do is take that 20% enriched uranium that's going to be turned into an oxide, so it's inoperative. That process is completely chemically reversible, which means Iran holds on to its 20% uranium and can turn it back into active stuff anytime it wants. I mean, even when you looked at, and this deal is actually worse than Munich, what happened with Chamberlain, because Britain and France's capitulation to Nazi Germany in 1938, you know, has long been a byword for, you know, moral and diplomatic foolishness. But there was actually one good thing about it, because the reality is the Allies were not ready to fight the Nazis at that time in September of 1938. So they had a year so basically they ended up buying time to rearm. In 1 year, they bought time to rearm, so in 1939 they could go to war. In 2013, basically Obama gives Iran the time to go nuclear. So that's the bargain deal for Iran. I've also been reading today that those people involved in the Iranian hostage crisis back in 98 say this is just foolishness. You can't trust the Iranians. Why would we trust them to do this? There's no deal here. It's the turkey of a deal. It's Thanksgiving, and this turkey needs to be have its throat.
I agree. And here's the other thing. There were one of the big things I said, there's a lot of holes it would take us, and I've been doing it now for the past, couple of shows, but even before that, because we've talked about Iran a lot on America Tonight and had all kinds of people on the show to talk about it. Andrew, experts who live there and whatnot, and nuclear scientists even talking about developing a nuclear weapon and whatnot. But one of the things that was missed is the fact that there's a pastor who's in prison over there wrongfully, and there's also an ex-FBI agent who's a businessman who is also in that same situation, and none of this was thrown out. Just immediately give the sanctions back. Okay, we lift the sanctions. You get all the access to the money that was frozen in the banks, the oil money and everything else, but yet nothing was done, even though Obama just weeks ago was fighting for this pastor, trying to get that put on the table. And then how come they walk away and they didn't make this as part of it?
Again, it shows the ineptitude of our diplomatic policy, that we don't even offer a simple thing like that. I think the Iranians were being quite happy to throw that into the mix. They were getting the better end of the deal by far, and they're getting a lot. We're getting basically nothing. The very least we could have asked for is for the release of the pastor. I totally agree with the UK. And here's another thing that I think is just really starting to emerge, is another, just to say how much of a turkey of a deal this is the Saudis are actually pretty ticked off. They claim they were kept in the dark by the Western allies over this Iranian nuclear deal, and now saying they're going to strike out on their own, because that could, allowing the Iranians, I mean, the reality was the other Middle Eastern powers there essentially using the West to some degree to play the bad guys. Well, now I understand a senior advisor to the Saudi royal family accused the Western allies deceiving the kingdom in striking that nuclear accord without the Saudis really knowing about it. So now they're going to pursue a more independent foreign policy. So one of our biggest allies there is all of a sudden very ticked off at us. So, and that again, that attempt of appeasement. And I think this is also just partly just a deal so we can distract ourselves from what the domestic issues of Obamacare. That's also what I think a lot of the press is now. Is this really a deal? And is this just simply smoke and mirrors to take our attention off of the another turkey of a fiasco of the administration? So, yeah, totally agree with you there.
It's interesting you say that about is a smoke and mirrors to deflect Obamacare, because here in America Tonight, the listeners are so focused on what's happening because they're calling us with their personal stories, and they're horrific about cancellations, tripling the policies. One woman called us from Michigan, and Andrew, she said, you know what, I don't have cable TV. I've gone without because I feel like it's my responsibility to cover my own insurance, and I didn't want to take anything from the government. And she said now, because of the Affordable Care Act, what's happened to her is her insurance went from, and she basically had catastrophic coverage, but that was okay because she watched what she ate and said she was pretty healthy, went from $150 to over $400 for the premiums because of the switch in the regulations. And she was upset, saying she doesn't, for the first time, she's considering that she has to take what she was calling kind of the handout and didn't want to do it. And that's the kind of things that we're hearing from people. So I think the biggest turkey of all has been the rollout of healthcare.gov and what it really contains, and all the lingering issues surrounding it, both with the website, of course, and everything else.
Absolutely,
personally,
yeah.
Personally,
yeah,
with everybody's
absolutely.
Insurance. And here's the question. So the question is, they say it's going to be, they're going to meet their self-imposed November 30th deadline, but yet it's still not the health, just the website itself. And you're a strategist, you're a marketing guy. It's still with the problem with the website, that it still goes back to the website, that they can't even get that right, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's again, it's what's the message you're sending? We're sending the message that we're enough that even putting up a, you know, a website, you know, to put this legislation in place. I mean, this is the backbone that's going to make this legislation work. Without the website, the legislation falls apart. And then people are now starting to read what that legislation says. And it was all in there in the first place that they even predicted there was going to be several million. They were saying, I think, between 40 and 70% were going to lose their coverage. It was right there in the legislation. Mm. And now there's millions scrambling. And this is, and we, what we predicted 2 weeks ago, we said that those employee health care plans, they're going to stop canceling next year. And sure enough, there was the Manhattan Institute, American Enterprise Institute, said that about approximately 157 million employee health care policyholders are going to lose their insurance in 2014. That's going to dwarf the numbers that were, it's almost double what we're seeing right now. So it's going to end up tripling. But you're going to have, that's 157 million plus the 80 million. Now you're looking at, 240 million people scrambling to get coverage to a website that's not working. I mean, it the whole thing is destined to collapse.
Yeah, I agree. It's. I mean, we keep agreeing on everything, but it's obvious. And here's the thing, too. What's happening and so sad is that families are really being hit by this because the family portion of an individual's insurance has skyrocketed. So even if the company says, okay, listen, we can keep insuring you under Obamacare, but now the family portion goes much higher. So then it becomes almost unaffordable anyway, and you're really stuck. What do? Yeah. You have to ensure your family. You've got kids. What if something happens? What are you going to do? So people are stuck at this point. And I think this is maybe me taking it a step further, but I think the end game was to make this ultimately a single payer country. That's what I think that the end game is with this, because of all these problems and what's ultimately going to happen to the avalanche of people. It's not going to be sustainable. What do you think?
I think that's very possible. I think very early on that a number of people did feel that was really the strategy behind the legislation. So, in other words, that by creating an unsustainable, by creating legislation that was strategically unsustainable, would allow the government to step in and say, okay, fine, we're taking over, and we're basically socializing the whole system. Because the insurance companies can't handle it. There's complete chaos in the marketplace.
Yep.
Any person, therefore, they can control it is the government. And of course, by that time, we've now had 3 or 4 years of this. People forget, wait a minute, it's the government that created the problem in the first place. So you create the problem, and it's sort of like a simple sort of metaphor is, like say, well, yeah, let's dig a hole in the road, and now we have to come in and the council, your local town council now has to come in and fill that hole. Wait a minute, you created the hole in the first place. Okay, so you're creating the need by creating the chaos in the first place.
Yep, good analogy.
And a number of people felt that was the strategy all along, and
yep.
I think it could very well play out like
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah, I agree. Happy Thanksgiving, Andrew Sabo. Peel back the onion.
Thank you.
An e-cig revolution is sweeping across the country. But is yours American-made? Vapria e-liquid by LeSig is. Manufactured in Arkansas with 100% USA-sourced ingredients. And when you buy American, you support local jobs. Vapria e-liquid by LeSig is top quality at an affordable price. The very principle that once drove the American economy. Get great taste with no ash, tar, or smoke. You'll be wondering why you didn't make the change to Vapria e-liquid by LeSig a long time ago. LeSig.com has everything you need, for beginners to the advanced vaping enthusiast, with a wide variety of hardware and also imported e-liquid flavors as well. Plus, LeSig smokes the competition with fast, free, same-day shipping, real people customer service, and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Support our country and become a Vapriot at LeSig.com. or call 870-525-1440. 870-525-1440. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
To thank you for being a loyal listener, we have a limited time freebie offer for you. Claim your free heirloom tomato seeds, just pay shipping, right now at 123freeseeds.com. These aren't ordinary seeds. These are heirloom, non-genetically modified super seeds that are open-pollinated and can be grown, harvested, and replanted endlessly. These survival seeds are actually more valuable than gold in a crisis. Go to 123freeseeds.com and you can get an airtight storage packet of 150 super seeds free while supplies last to say thank you for being a loyal listener. First come, first served. Just cover shipping. Go to 123freeseeds.com now to see if your free heirloom seeds are still available. That's 123freeseeds.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
All right, the day is upon us, the week. It's really Thanksgiving week, and we have American political history expert Clint Hackney, TRN's Tales of American Political History. Really, really good stuff. You hear the program. And, Clint, thanks for coming on with us. It is Thanksgiving week, as I said. And, you know, when you're a kid, you hear about the pilgrims and the start of Thanksgiving. But really, when was the true Thanksgiving Day established? Was it George Washington, or was it the woman that everybody says begged Lincoln to do it?
Well, the first time it was mentioned as a national holiday or a national day of Thanksgiving, that was George Washington. That didn't really go, it didn't last too long. It was regional. All he did was a presidential proclamation in his first year as president, 1789. But later, I gotta say, the hero of today's Thanksgiving in America has got to be, Sarah Hale. She's I would call her the mother of Thanksgiving. And she's from New Hampshire. She was a novelist and a poet. Her best claim to fame was that she wrote the poem "Mary Had a Little Lamb," and we all knew that that rhyme when we were young children.
Mm-hmm.
But she was persistent. She spent 17 years trying to convince Congress and the executive branch that we should set aside a day of Thanksgiving in the autumn. You know, when she was trying to do this, which was a period from 1846 to 1860, we only had two national holidays in America. We had George Washington's birthday in February. We had Independence Day on July 4th. So we had a winter holiday and a summer holiday. And Sarah Hale, she wrote five different president's letters, the four before Lincoln. And she also organized a letter-writing campaign, a pretty good lobbying effort.
for the 1840s and 1850s. She organized a letter-writing campaign to congressmen, and it was Abe Lincoln that finally paid some attention to it. And his purpose was didn't really work out, but at least he got it started. His proclamation, he proclaimed a national day of Thanksgiving. And he did it in the middle of the Civil War, 1863, and he invited the Confederacy to participate in, hey, you know, let's take a day off here and give thanks for what we have in the Confederacy and the Union. Well, the Confederacy, they didn't really pay attention to that. But that's really how it began, was with Lincoln's declaration for a national holiday.
When did it become that it just became Thanksgiving? That was it. You were, of course, now we could talk about what's the commercialization, and we will in a second. But really, if you go back to, as you were talking about her letter writing in the 40s and the 50s, then finally there's Thanksgiving, and then really people just boom, they're taking the day off, and then it becomes, you know, this holiday where I don't know, was it a mandatory day off, or it just depended on what you did for a living back then?
No, it took a long time after Abraham Lincoln's declaration. There was no consistency, and it remained regional. The South had a hard time coming along. You know, Andrew Johnson, who was Lincoln's successor, he declared Thanksgiving Day to be in December. He set a date in December. He was followed by President Grant, who put it back in November. And he put it in on the last day of November, Grant did, and that kind of stuck. So we had some consistency from Grant up to Franklin Roosevelt. But it was not until the early 1900s that the southern states really started paying attention to it. And by the 1930s, it was observed nationally, but it still was inconsistent. Some states would have their own date picked out, or maybe something different than the Thanksgiving we know today. Actually, the commercialization of it that you're mentioning, that really sort of helped get us a unified national holiday that we observe today.
So in the beginning it was good because that's what got the ball rolling, in other words.
Right. That's right. You know, they Christmas shopping was back in those days, during the Depression, that's where the trend started, that like the day after Thanksgiving you go out and start shopping for Christmas. And so the retail, it just so happened in 1939, which was still part of the Depression years, it so happened that the last day of Thanksgiving, the last day of November was a fifth Thursday. And so there was going to be a much shorter period of time, be a 1 week shorter period of time between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And so it'd be less, fewer days to shop. And so the retailers, with some effective lobbyists, lobbied Franklin Roosevelt to move it back up 1 week from November 30th to November 23rd. And they did a good job. He did that. He did a proclamation changing after 70 years of having the last Thursday to be Thanksgiving. Roosevelt moved it up. But that caused it, the reason that was a catalyst is it caused a lot of controversy. Some states did it on the had Thanksgiving on the 30th. Some states did what Franklin Roosevelt had declared and used the 23rd. Two states, Colorado and Texas, they had two Thanksgivings. They did it on the 23rd, and they did it again the next weekend. So not a bad idea, but it spurred discussion, and in 1941, Congress finally passed a law declaring the fourth Thursday in November as a national holiday of Thanksgiving.
And
I might point out, especially since my home state is Texas, I'd point out that Texas did not comply with that until 1956.
And so, of course.
Well, so it really took until, since 1956, we have had a unified national holiday of Thanksgiving.
What about the turkey? The turkey, you know, the whole lore goes back to Pilgrim days, and then fast forward all the things we just talked about with the actual Thanksgiving. Was it right from the beginning about the turkey? You had the turkey and the mashed potatoes and stuffing and all of that?
I don't think so. There's not much documentation that the Thanksgiving feast at Plymouth, in Plymouth, Massachusetts, really took place, although it may have, probably did occur, but it really is a story passed down, and there are a few letters that are written that mention that Thanksgiving at Plymouth. And it's not really a unique holiday to the United States. The religions all over the world have days of Thanksgiving, or they have harvest celebrations. Some of them fast, some of them feast. There are other nations today, Canada, Japan, and others that have some type of celebration in the autumn, usually having to do with harvest time. Sarah Hale, she got into the talking about food. She, in her letters to the presidents, she would talk about pumpkin pie and the autumn air and the great weather in the fall. And she did mention in one of her letters stuffed turkeys. I don't know. Maybe that's how it got started.
Maybe that's what happened. Clint Hackney, we're out of time. Thanks so much. Great history lesson on the origins of Thanksgiving. We'll have to have you back on again. Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.